Na 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 na. Hey, gotta love that podcast show. Na 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 na. Hey, yeah, I love that podcast show. Oh, BS and beer is the place to go to get all the Saints news. Hell yeah, podcast show. Na 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 na. Hey, gotta love that podcast show. Na na.
Now, recording live, it's the BS and Beer Podcast crew with your host, David Romero.
Welcome in. Another week, another edition of the BS and Beer Podcast crew recording live, wall-to-wall New Orleans Saints talk from our studios at the Meat House. With me today, David Romero.
Hey,
and Dale Mims. I'm Craig Wright. Let's grab a drink. Let's sit back and relax, because the next hour or so we'll be doing New Orleans Saints football, BS and beer style.
Hey folks, all right, listen, I'm so not in the mood for you guys. You're blabbering on and on, okay, and it's enough, all right? It's enough. Blah, 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 blah. Okay, today's Monday, all right? So stop doing your stupid radio thing, and if you want to pick up where you left off tomorrow, at least it'll be Tuesday, all right? So just keep it down. Actually, don't keep it anything. Just stop. Okay? Just stop doing what you're doing.
How are you guys doing this morning?
Man, I'm good. I don't know how to feel about this. You were so smooth in that intro. I'm starting to feel a little threatened.
Uh-oh. Yeah.
If it makes you feel any better, Dale will just do it next week and it'll even out.
So then I'll feel doubly threatened.
Probably. All right. The future is now, old man.
I challenge you guys. That's why I'm trying to get the VCast back up and running, because I want everybody to see how good looking I am, even at my advanced age. See, I'm handsome.
Yeah, but then we're going to draw more female Dale viewers. Refuses to wear any Saints gear because Dale hates the Saints. He's got that Falcons flag behind him. He'll tip off.
Lies.
He's got that Alabama shirt on right now, and he doesn't want people to know about that.
Lies.
You know what, too? And I know Dale went out and got a new sponsor. That good from Purple Valley.
I am boycotting doing any ads for them until they actually start paying us.
Dale, I think he's doing it out of just hope. And that shirt is reflective of his support for the good over at Purple Valley Farms.
There you go. Listen, we don't necessarily need monetary contributions.
I need the monetary contributions. That shit out of it. All right, guys, you may not have realized this, but this is a Saints podcast, and we have a whole off season to start wrapping up. We got real stuff happening. We got practices, we got OTAs, we have injury concerns, we've got excitement, we've got negativity, we've got it all.
You about to talk about practice?
Oh, hell yeah, Allen Iverson. You know what, maybe if he went to practice more, he'd have won a damn championship. I said it. You know who practices ass off? Kobe Bryant.
Oh, I thought you just got finished lecturing us on this as a Saints podcast. Now we're back to your favorite basketball team, the Lakers.
Hey, LeBron James is forcing his way out. I can be a Lakers fan again.
Oh, nice.
Goodness.
Fair enough.
Please don't unsubscribe. I want to talk about it again.
That's weird.
All right, guys. So there was a big interview with Ross Tucker. They had Nick Underhill on. We talked about some of the concerns coming up from OTAs. I think the big one is Jameis Winston was in action, going through the motions, but with a visible limp in the first OTAs. Now, apparently, it looks a little bit better the last couple of days in those OTAs, but let's overanalyze and freak out about a player limping after an ACL tear 7 months earlier.
But he's still limping, though, right?
Yeah, no, absolutely. So let's freak out about a guy limping after blowing his knee out only 7 months earlier.
Extremely concerned about this.
Yes.
I don't know if he's going to make it through the season. We're probably going to have to go to the backup quarterback.
Proven winner who has gotten his team to the playoffs.
Well, hey, Red Rifle, we're going to need you, because Jameis knee is not going to make it. I don't know how many wins we're going to have this season. Maybe four. It's not looking too good right now.
Okay, I kind of feel like I should be the host and have my video in the middle of YouTube, because all I'm doing is looking side to side as y'all. I mean, I wish the people, I told you hit record earlier, listening could just hear the nonsense that goes on between you two. It's hilarious. But
if they want to hear the nonsense between us two, we have the beer run every Tuesday.
Yes. Look, man, it's noteworthy. It's the off season. There's, you know, it's noteworthy. But I think that the prevailing thought should be, it's awesome that he's out there. And if he's limping a little bit, I know this is silly, but I'm going to use an analogy. I broke my ankle playing baseball. And then when I got my cast off, I ran straight to the field and I was trying to play. And I hit a meek ball to the infield and tried to run it out. And once I started running. Once I got halfway down the baseline and realized I was getting thrown out, I started and everybody was like worried about me. And I'm like, no, doctor said I can run. So it's going to hurt. I'm going to have to work through the pain. But I still did it. Now, we could have talked about that, or we could have talked about, dang, man, he got his cast off on Wednesday and he's playing baseball on Sunday. And I think that's what we need to look at Jameis Winston, is that, yeah, now, it's noteworthy. He's limping.
Now, Dave, that's a bit of a homer take. All right. We don't want to have biased homer opinions. We have
Tomas,
to acknowledge that,
please,
that he is stumbling around out there. Look, I agree with you 100%. The fact that he's out there at all is a bigger deal than that he's limping while he's doing it. You saw him throwing the ball. The quarterback's first and foremost job is to distribute the ball to other players, right? And it looked like he was doing that. He's hooking up with Jarvis Landry. He's hitting Olave on the deep shots. I mean, sure, you're going to be concerned. You're the focal point of your entire offense is a little bit hobbled. Yeah, I mean, you can't look at that and think it's not something to notice. It's not something you can just gloss over. But if he's getting the work done, I'm thinking there's more positives than negatives.
I don't know, man. I just heard Dave's baseball career got railroaded because he had a limp. And now Jameis got this limp. He may not ever play again. This is what I'm hearing.
Oh, my
very
God.
Now.
I thought I had two new and different people on my show, but Heath just showed up. And
okay, to be fair, I have 150 pounds on Tomas, so there's at least a visual difference.
Man, please continue. I just had to throw that in there.
You know, Jameis Winston limping around a little bit is not the only thing that we can acknowledge from these OTAs. How about our first round of OTAs, the completely voluntary workouts that new free agent signing Tyrann Mathieu was out there yes, competing, running around, wearing number 32 like we all knew he would.
Oh,
and Craig, he looks good. He looks smooth, looks fast.
Craig, I want to go back and talk about, you said let's have a show, and I sent you a list, and it's like, let's talk about Jameis's limp, and you got upset. And then I said, well, what about Michael Thomas's limp? And then we could talk about,
we
Mays's
can't talk about
limp.
Michael Thomas's limp, because Michael Thomas has not been
limp
on the field for us to acknowledge.
And Turner's limp, although I don't know how he limps on his shoulder, but okay.
Now you're listening to people we haven't limp actually seen practice. Once I see them out there limping, I Pete's will limp absolutely complain. Hey, Pete practiced this week.
Taysom Hill's limp.
Taysom Hill was not there, could not limp.
We have a team full of pimps who walk with a lean, honey. Gangsta lean team walking around like,
That's great. Yeah, we're going to be the coolest team coming off the bus.
We just get a bunch of Kangos instead of helmets.
Yeah.
Still on the sideline, a little feather in it, purple, yeah, velvet maybe.
There we go, like the Players Club coming off the bus.
Keep order here! Keep order, I said!
Oh, sorry, were y'all finished with that ridiculousness? We can talk about some football?
Yes, I was waiting for you to...
Okay,
I mean,
yeah, just
dude,
make sure.
Control,
I wanted,
you
I wanted
order,
to get dude out of your system, because this is a free space, you know, this is a safe space. I want everyone to feel like their opinions and their contributions are valid,
sure,
you know? Mm-hmm. Which is nonsense. Because all those guys you mentioned, some of them aren't practicing because they're just not practicing because it's voluntary. Cam Jordan hasn't been practicing and nothing wrong with him. Demario Davis hasn't been practicing and nothing wrong with him. So guys like Turner, yeah, he's made of glass. Him and Davenport aren't going to practice until week 9, whatever. You know, Michael Thomas, there are some of us who don't think he's going to play again. So the fact that he hasn't been at voluntary workouts shouldn't surprise anyone. It might discourage some of us, like myself, but it's not going to surprise any of us, right?
He'll swear that he doesn't get upset, but then he'll go on a tirade. Like, I was just throwing that in there because I thought it was funny, and then you have to just move on, man. Just move on to something important.
I have no idea what he's talking about. And if you do have any idea what he's talking about, find us on Twitter and drop your theories on what Dave was talking about this week.
Ooh, yeah, we should do that more. Tell people to come follow us on social media. We don't do that enough.
Unless you're following us for wrestling, in which case, go away.
Hey.
Hey, I don't even like wrestling. I think it's a good show.
It is a good show. I'm just picking on Dale.
We've been getting a lot of followers every day. New followers, welcome into the family. We love to see it.
Fair enough.
So how do y'all feel about our two big free agent signings, both LSU guys, both hometown heroes? Now both with the second round of OTAs, both have been out practicing voluntarily and looking pretty good. How are we feeling about both Jarvis Landry and Tyrann Mathieu coming to the Saints?
Well, this just in, LSU players are pretty good. So all of the talk I've been telling you guys all offseason, we should draft LSU players, we should sign LSU players. Like, you're now seeing the beginning of this revolution of LSU players coming to the Saints, taking over, and we're going to send us to the promised land. It's going to be wonderful. Telling
you. So, you know, Jamarcus Russell is a free agent. You want to go get him?
Jamarcus Russell could have had a good career if he didn't get drafted to the Raiders. Okay.
Purple drink. Dennis Allen could have had a good career too.
Went to the Raiders. Yes.
That's right.
Exactly. Exactly.
I feel like this show is just an extension of this text conversation or the WhatsApp conversation we have. LSU versus Craig getting mad.
Look, I am a big LSU fan. I went to a couple games last year. I'm going to go to a couple games this year. I live outside of Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
Yeah,
but I would rather draft good players than players that played on LSU, regardless of their talent level or fit with the scheme. That makes me the bad guy around here.
Yo, I saw a tweet that said Jarvis Landry can get open in a phone booth. I don't know.
That's probably not
kids,
true.
You kids understand what a phone booth is, okay? But
they don't know. They don't even
see,
know.
See, he's about 2 feet taller than Dale, so he probably could get open on Dale.
It's a very confined space, okay? And Jarvis Landry is getting open inside of a phone booth, okay? The guy is so good, okay?
One of these days, we're going to explain to Dale what hyperbole is.
No, hey, man, I mean, that's two fantastic additions to the team. You've solidified your safety position. The contracts for both of them were very, very reasonable. Landry, even more so. I think there's a lot of misinformation because the word that everyone was sharing, all these insiders who knew stuff, was that he just wanted too much money and he's going to have to readjust his thinking. That obviously could not have been the case when he signed for, I mean, was it close to league minimum for a veteran? Right.
Pretty much $1 million.
So there are some incentives cooked in, you know,
sure.
Makes the playoffs, certain number of catches, that kind of thing. All of which things he should accomplish, looking at what the milestones are and what his role on the team should be.
Now, here's one of the things that, I mean, he is an older player. He's going to be 30 during the season.
Ancient.
Well, I mean, for a football player, that's not a young pup. But here's what I love about it is the fact that we're not signing these older guys and expecting them to be, I do expect them to be a major contributor, but the point is they don't have to get 70 snaps a game. These are going to be guys that can come in and get 30, because one of the things about, and you guys wouldn't appreciate that, so sit back and let me explain to you about being old. You can come in and at the beginning and you feel great. You're fresh. You can do everything that you think you can do. The problem is the wear and tear as the season goes on. You end up wearing down and your legs are tired and you can't do the things that you, or even late in games, you can't do the things in the fourth quarter that you did in the third or the second if you're, you know, if you've gotten a bunch of snaps. But if you reduce that snap count to, you know, 30 or 40 snaps a game, now all of a sudden, man, you keep that guy fresh all season long. And that's a valuable player for us. So,
you know, Dave, it's like a wise man once said, I'm not as good as I once was, but I'm as good once as I ever was.
I was thinking
Jarvis Landry is that guy. Jarvis Landry looks quick, explosive. And if you don't have to have him out there 70 snaps, you don't need him to. You're going to have, hopefully, God willing, we have Michael Thomas on the field, who, if coming off an injury, sure, he's going to be fresh at least. And you're going to have a rookie who's got no pro mileage on him. There are other receivers. You have Callaway, who has big time NFL touchdowns. You have Hardy, who is overrated as all get up, but still a good deep threat. There are other weapons. Landry doesn't have to be the guy. I think we talked about this on the beer run. If Landry is the guy, something else has gone wrong. Because yes, with all the other weapons that we have, Troutman apparently is back from limping with the first OTAs he's practicing. He's supposedly is going to turn a corner. There was an article about how he was playing through injury last year, which contributed to his struggles. Tight end's going to be better than it was. Receiver's going to be better than it was. The line should be better. We'll see how that looks. It depends on how the rookie develops. Landry is going to be a piece instead of the focal point. And I think that's what fits his skill set at this age and at this point in his career.
Yeah. And then moving on to the safety, Matthews is a guy that, man, he's just one of those guys. He's like, I mean, you look at his numbers. I mean, I go back and try to get really excited about a player, and you know, he didn't score great athletically. He's just a great football player, you know, and so I'm expecting good things from him. I've heard it said on several occasions, so it's not like this is my original thought, is that the sum of Mays and Matthews is equivalent to the sum of the guys we had last year, you know? So I feel pretty comfortable with that. So, you know, I think that the problem that we have to be aware of is that I don't know if it's going to be as good week one or week four. This is something. And then when you add into the mix that, you know, that Mays is injured, let's see, I'm trying to think there's something else. Oh yeah. Well, I was thinking it was a different player, but he's coming off injury and he's going to get suspended. So,
And we're forgetting about Evans, who has a lot of upside at free safety.
Wow. That's great. Kudos to Dell for bringing that up a long time ago.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, you should be commended for spotting that and acknowledging the potential that guy brought.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. Craig's upset again. Okay. I'm sorry. I thought it was Dell. It was you, Craig.
No, it was Dell.
Was it?
Yeah.
Now y'all just. Okay. Whoever brought it up, it was. But here's the problem is that same thing we always argue about. You're like, oh, man, we just signed this guy from. Who's the kid that we just signed, offensive lineman, undrafted free agent that we got and signed him to a 3-year deal? And everybody's like, what does this mean? Yeah, he must be that good.
Yeah.
So
it's an unguaranteed deal. You can cut run at any point you want.
Yeah, right. So, but the point is that, you know, you sign a guy who was pretty good. He had a serious injury, and you hope that, you know, like, man, he comes back and all of a sudden everything works properly again. And now all of a sudden, can you imagine if this guy comes back and he's the same player or close to the same player he was when he was with Tampa Bay?
Yeah.
If Mays, you know, Mays was franchised. So, I mean, this guy was talked about as being the best safety, and that's above Marcus Williams.
Marcus Williams, yeah.
So yeah, these guys come back healthy.
To look at the safety position, right? You think Matthew is at least somewhat of an upgrade on Jenkins, right?
Yes.
So all you really have to do is break even on losing Marcus Williams. Right. And with the combination of Mays and Evans, some combination of those guys, assuming they come back from their injury, and it looks like they're moving pretty good in OTAs. If you just have to break even with that, you don't have to improve. You're improving overall at that position because of your other additions.
Yeah. See, I did tell you guys on the bear run that Dave agreed with me that he thought the safety position was going to struggle early on. And this is my proof right here. Okay. Justin Evans is going to be our starter at free safety. And next year, Marcus May is going to get cut. You're going to see it all come to pass. I am the guy that's going to tell you everything in the future. Just go ahead and place your bets now. Win a bunch of money. Come back and thank me later.
Wait, hold on. Okay, this went sideways real quick, and somehow my name was drug. I can't. Is this a good time to confront you guys about how you constantly dropping my name and misrepresenting my feelings on things?
I can't misrepresent you. I don't even remember your name half the time.
That's rude, by the way. That's very rude.
But it's true.
But you three, Tomas Jr. and Tomas himself, over there talking all kind of stuff. And my friend Dave, he said, and I'm like, that ain't even what I, nothing. Just and then now y'all do it now. Dale starts off saying, Dave agreed with me. And I was like, yeah, it had me all shaking my head, like, yeah, man. He's gonna be slow early. And then Dale's like, next thing you know, we cutting everybody and trading. Wait, hold up. This the train came off the rails. None of that. No. You can don't quit laughing, Dale. It ain't funny. I got a reputation to uphold.
A reputation to uphold. We've saw to that already.
Things have changed. I'm just embracing the horror.
All right, look, guys. Here's the big question going into this season is, are the Saints better than they were last year? So the big point of the Ross Tucker interview that we were trying to get to earlier is I think a lot of Saints fans, and I think this is the argument that they made, are we undervaluing the loss of Sean Payton because of how we're overvaluing the additions player and personnel wise?
Yeah, it's a great point that Ross Tucker brought up, because we will go to bat for Sean Payton and say, yeah, he was a Hall of Fame coach.
Y'all will go to bat for Sean Payton.
Like, first ballot Hall of Famer, no doubt about it. And so, yes, we lose him and we bring in Dennis Allen. And as Saints fans, like we do, we're not going to miss a beat. Everything's going to be good. No problem. We won't miss Sean Payton. And we're going to have a better record than we did last year. And because Ross Tucker said we were going to have a worse record than we did last year, we jumped in his mentions and we beat him up and everything like good Saints fans do, right? But he's saying, how can y'all have it both ways? Either he's a Hall of Fame coach and he was valuable, or he's not. And you know, are we going to miss him or not? That's the thing. So we can't have it both ways.
Well, why is it an all or nothing? Why is it you're going to miss him or you're not going to miss him? Why can't you miss him and also be a better team?
That's difficult to do. Well, I'm just thinking based off of, I guess, analytics, right? Where you hire one guy who's good. Well, typically the next guy isn't going to be as good, or it's going to take him some time to reach that level. And to think it won't be any growing pains at all. I mean, that's just our way of thinking.
But that's what I'm saying is you're saying either no growing pains at all, or there's going to be massive growing pains and we get worse. Why can't there be an in-between where, yeah, there's growing pains. We're getting a new coach, Craig, but we're still a better team.
How do you get there? So the point is that you could say, hey, look, we're going to lose this and this and that, and there's no negative. Well, how does that happen? I mean, you have to have a.
But that's what I'm saying. You guys are saying, well, there's no negative. There is a negative. We're losing a Hall of Fame coach. That doesn't mean that our coaching is going to be any better, but is a lesser coaching performance with a better roster a better football team than a better coaching performance with a worse roster?
So let me answer my question, because I was just being very, what's that guy? Never mind. Anyway, so I'm going to answer my question. And the answer to me is that unlike, let's say, having a Hall of Fame quarterback, and I'm not referring to Drew Brees. I'm just saying having an all-world quarterback on your roster and losing him significantly changes your immediate production on the field. I believe that the loss of Sean Payton won't be the whole of losing Sean Payton, because his team and his system and his culture is still in place.
Right.
So I do believe. This is why I believe what you're saying, Craig, is I believe that losing Sean Payton, you will lose some of the stuff he gives you at the time, but we've improved our roster. So you'll have a better team, but you haven't lost. It would be different. I wouldn't be able to make this statement had we just started from scratch, got a new head coach, a new offensive coordinator, you know, maybe even a new GM. And you're just rebuilding from scratch. But I don't think we are anymore. So my point is, I do believe that you can lose a Hall of Fame coach, but you're not losing the entirety of what he brings to the team in year one. Now, and what was the guy's name? Barry Switzer. Do you remember when he replaced Jimmy Johnson?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Went on and won a Super Bowl. He wasn't a better coach than Jimmy Johnson.
Right.
But you also noticed after a couple of years, the deterioration of that team.
Yes.
So that coach wasn't as good as Jimmy Johnson, right. Significantly less. But he still held it together because it was still Jimmy Johnson's team per se.
Yeah.
But then now I'm opening up Pandora's box about, is this Dennis Allen's team? I've heard that argument too. If Dennis Allen wins a Super Bowl, Barry Switzer won a Super Bowl, Is it their Super Bowl or is it the preceding coach's Super Bowl?
Well, that's another good argument to have. But I would actually say I like what Dennis Allen has done with this year's team on paper, as far as bringing in more receivers, of course, because look, we need receivers for a while, and Sean Payton sort of refused to do this, believing that his system can get anybody open. And last year proved that's not the case. So I really enjoy the moves that Dennis Allen has made to improve the team. And I honestly think our safeties are going to be better once the beginning of the season, you know, happens and everything, and they get to learn each other. Because I think these are just better players at the safety position together.
Craig, I'm leaving the door open for you, buddy.
I would like to disagree with you guys because that's kind of my role on the show. But I, you know, the way I break it out, I try to simplify it a little bit because I'm not very smart. Say Sean Payton is worth 3 wins on his own. If you're taking away those 3, I think the additions we've made to the team and the health coming back to this team, you know, we're getting our kicker back, getting all these players back, offensive line is going to be better. If you say the additions we've made and the health we're getting back are worth, I think they're probably worth 4 or 5 wins. So you say, okay, we're going up 5 and then back down another 3 for losing Payton. That's still a net positive. I still think the team as a whole, that's including coaching, including the roster, including every other factor, I think the net positive is still better. We're still a better overall unit than we were last year.
I can't disagree with that. Like, I try, and Craig gets mad at me. Tomas gets mad at me.
Easy.
But I try to be objective. I try to look at the things that – but I'm super excited. Having said that, there's still a huge side of me that's a fan. So every offseason, I'm just like, all our problems are solved, and this guy's going to improve this, that, and the other, and I can't help but get excited. And I think that anybody who's not excited about this roster – because, again, it's the offseason, so I'm repeating stuff that we've been saying – all off season, not just us, everybody, right? We didn't just sign or draft Olave. We didn't just sign Landry. We also, however you want to call it, we're getting back Thomas. Okay. So
are we?
We're getting back. Okay. Assuming. And I mean, I'm open to that idea. I mean, you know, he may not, but I was a little concerned about it, but now I'm starting to feel a little bit better. And one of the things I guess I didn't take into account is, he hasn't been coming back from this injury since last year. He had another surgery. So he had to recover from that. So it's not like in my mind when this first started and he wasn't out there, I kind of irritated by it because I'm thinking, why is he just now getting back to running? But well, because he just had another surgery to clean his ankle up from the issues he had from the first surgery. So there's a recovery process from that. He's expected to be back for training camp. Now, look, I'm open-minded to this. He may not be the same player.
Right.
He very well could be. You know, and one thing I do disagree with, yes, the injury can take something from you, but these people are like, oh, he doesn't play football in 2 years. Man, I don't want to hear that nonsense. If you play football, sometimes people try to overcomplicate this game. You go out there and you bust the snot out of the guy in front of you and you usually win. And so Michael Thomas did not forget how to play football. Is there a period that he might have to knock the rust off? Absolutely. But anyway, back to the point is, we've acquired all this new talent, and this new talent were guys who were on the team already who went out injured, and we didn't have David Onyemata for 5 games early in the season. What did that, or 6 games actually? What did that mean? You know, not having Thomas, our offensive line. We had Ramczyk half the season, but he was injured.
Yeah.
And then out. So even when he played, he wasn't healthy. So again, yeah, could these guys get injured again? But you'd have to say the luck of the draw. Some of them will get injured, but not all of them. One of the points that I've made, and I think it's a pretty good point, how many of these guys that probably shouldn't have been playing, and I think I used Throckmorton.
I love me some Throckmorton.
Thing about it is, and this is hypothetical, but let's just say this. Let's say somebody was injured for, you know, 2 games. Throckmorton goes in there. He probably struggles, first NFL start. You know, and he probably doesn't do that well, and they say, man, put that guy back on the bench, and, you know, and we got to get rid of him, get better. But he has to play like half the season, if not more. And he develops and he becomes a better player. Now, is he a starter? Possibly not, but he is a significantly better player than he was last year at this time because of the playing time. So now all of a sudden, not only have your starters returned, Your backups have gotten better, and the depth is now returned to the next level of the Saints offense. And it's happened all over the place. You know, we were talking about it. I'm not a huge fan of Callaway. I'm a big fan of
Hardy.
He changed his name from Harris to
Hardy.
Hardy, thank you. Golly, it's off season, man.
Big fan. Big fan over here. Big fan doesn't know his name.
Well, then, man. I mean, listen, I like the guy, but these guys were getting lots of snaps, man. Even if I'm not a huge fan of Callaway, he is a significantly better player than he would have been if he would have been behind the group that we have now last year. So the point is, our backups have improved, and there's an old adage. I think I made it up a long time ago, and it's when your starters become backups, you've become a better team, you know? Yeah. So yeah, I wrote that down somewhere. Yeah. Yeah, no.
Back when you were telling Lombardi how to coach, well, yeah, you're teaching him up. Yeah. You taught him everything he knows.
BS and Beer Podcast, breaking opinions on yesterday's news.
Okay, so what about this rumor that we've been hearing about Sue coming to New Orleans?
Is it really a rumor, or is it just people wondering if
it's a Dale rumor? So it's the same as Antonio Brown.
No.
He ain't coming.
I did not hear that from my same source.
Look, there was some bad blood there when we went after him a few years ago. You know, people started printing the suit at shirts, and he basically said, no, not interested. You know, he doesn't want to be here. And we have so many defensive tackles that we could probably spend that money better elsewhere if we're going to spend it at all, in my humble opinion.
But he's a fat guy. You're supposed to be on board with this.
I don't like all fat guys.
Okay. Well, Ndamukong
Suh 5 years ago, I would have absolutely been beaten down the door. Sign him. Give him the money. Give him the money. You know, he's declined each of the last 5 years, in my opinion. He's still a dirty player. I still don't like how he plays the game, you know. But now he's not a freak athlete anymore to make up for it. You know, Aaron Donald plays dirtier than I'd prefer, but he's the best player in the world. So you give him some slack. Okay, all right, he's a little rough around the edges, but he's so good that you have to overlook that kind of thing. Sue's going to cost you a big third and long because he's too stupid to hold up from hitting the quarterback, right? Nothing against the guy's actual intelligence. He's too aggressive. Okay. And that kind of thing, you get away with it when you're fast and you're strong. And when you're declining and you're at the point in the career that he is, I don't want a dirty player on this team. This defense is going to be good. I don't want any free first downs because a guy can't keep his hands off a quarterback after the ball's out.
Yeah, Akeem Hicks got like 1 year, $10 million from the Bucks.
He didn't want to be here neither.
So I'm just saying, if Sue is seeing that from Akeem Hicks, I got to imagine he's wanting at least the same amount of money.
Do you think he thinks he's worth that if the team that let him go gave that money to someone else?
Yeah, I mean, Akeem Hicks hadn't even like played in the last 2 years. Like, that dude was always hurt. So I would probably be demanding that same amount of money from him.
Maybe. I'm not sure where your logic is, though. If you're a guy that the team you're on says, yeah, we're good, you can go now, and then they give that same contract to somebody else, how does it in your mind make you think, oh, I'm worth that same amount that they wouldn't pay me? They paid someone else that much, but they wouldn't pay me that much, so I'm still worth that much. You know, in my brain, that doesn't jive.
Well, I mean, look, I don't know what his contract demands are, but I'm just guessing that's got to be his floor now since Akeem Hicks got that money.
But why would that be your floor if someone is not willing to give you that money but give it to someone else? Wouldn't that mean that your floor should be lower than that?
We don't know that for sure. Maybe Akeem Hicks, maybe Sue was looking for $13 million a year and they wanted to pay him $10 million, and so they went and signed Hicks instead. So I don't know. But I'm just saying that's got to be his floor at $10 million.
Well, that's all we have left anyway. I don't want him.
Y'all think Sue's a $10 million player anymore?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if we think he is. If he thinks he is. I don't think Hicks is either.
Right.
Nah, I mean, I don't know. But I tell you what, the thing about it is, at least early, before he gets injured, and I'm talking about Akeem Hicks, and before, you know, he wears down as the season progresses, that's going to be a scary team to go up against, I mean, that's just a formidable defensive line.
Well, we're playing week two, so we'll see how that goes.
Well, they've always been deep, like, you know, Vita Vea and all those guys on the line. So they've always had some guys to rotate for sure.
I haven't done my homework, so I'm scared with I've already forgotten everybody's name. But I'm pretty sure that the I guess I want to say that the Bucks, their defensive line, they lost some defensive ends. Didn't Pierre Paul move on? Do y'all remember that or no?
I don't remember
that. I should look it up before I say something. But I remember just thinking to myself, because I just in the offseason, I just Barrett. Don't. Huh?
I know they still got Shaq Barrett.
Yeah, I just.
And he is massively overrated in Dale's eyes.
I just feel like reading stuff about Tampa Bay, and I just don't follow you. I mean, that's, you know, you guys know how I am in offseason. I just kind of felt like they lost something at the defensive end spot, and they may have made it up a little bit in the middle, but I remember thinking that, so I have to look it up.
But is replacing Sue with Hicks really all that big an improvement anyway?
No, I agree. They're similar type players.
Right. Yeah, that might be more replacing a loss than it is upgrade. I mean, when you factor in that their quarterback's going to fall off a cliff this year, you know, it's encouraging.
It's true.
Heard it here first. Don't draft them in fantasy.
Yeah, I'm also seeing like Watson is possibly going to be suspended the entire year.
Don't draft him either.
And we were gung-ho on
what a bullet we dodged with Deshaun Watson.
Yes.
Well,
all three of us, I think, were talked into at that point.
Wait a minute. Hold on, though. Like I pretty much expected that he wasn't going to play his first year anyway. Like, I mean, I think that was a foregone conclusion. Well, maybe I had my mind that he might just miss 6 or 8 games, but it didn't surprise me when I heard that he's, and it hasn't come down yet. Right. It's the rumor is,
no, it's just a rumor.
Yeah. It's
yeah.
Rumor. Yeah. I had heard and reported erroneously on our show that it was 4 games.
And I heard,
correct myself real quick. That is absolute nonsense. I do not know where I heard that. It has not been then actually enforced yet.
And when he first, you know, we were going through all this after they signed him, I guess that's when I realized that he was going to miss the whole season is because they set his contract up. It's like you get $500 trillion.
Right.
But in the first year, you're only going to get 1 million.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, so he wouldn't lose any money.
Some good agent in right there. Good agent.
Sugar-free, gluten-free, fat-free, talent-free, and free-free, the BS and Beer Podcast.
With the new schedule coming out, we kind of see how they've decided to screw us this year. It's with the super late bye week instead of the super early one.
Right.
We start a little bit rough with our first 3 games being divisional games, 2 of which on the road. How do you guys feel about how the schedule shakes out? Do you think we kind of got shafted by the league again? Do you think this sets us up better late in the season?
Well, I absolutely despise London games. I really, especially 8:30 in the morning, London games. I despise it. So stupid. All right. And then they did us a solid as far as not having the early bye, because usually you have a bye week after that London game. But that was gonna be like week 4, you know, for a bye week, and we didn't want that. So they gave us week 14 instead for our bye week, which is really, really late. I really hate our schedule. it's more of a difficult schedule, but there's so many teams that have so much more rest coming off of their games to prepare for us than we do them, and that's the part where I just think it's so uneven, and NFL can do a lot better job than what they've been doing.
Dave, how do you feel about how the schedule treats us?
Well, okay, so first of all, I do believe the schedule. I go back and forth, I go back and I see the schedule later in the off season, and it didn't look as hard as I remembered it to be, like a month earlier or 3 weeks earlier. But I think this is kind of combined with my thing where it's like, as you know, as a fan, you start getting excited and you start thinking your team is better and better and better. And then all of a sudden you're like, well, we can beat that team. We can beat that team. And so I don't know. I think that I may have convinced myself the schedule isn't as hard because it's the time of the year where you just believe your team is better than it might be because it's not, you know, they haven't played football yet. Everything's on paper. So I'm gonna look at this through the eye of it's still a hard schedule. And it's kind of back to the Sean Payton point. We could be a better team than we were last year and not win as many games. And I don't mean that at nine. Like I think last year's team was good enough to win 10 or 11 games if it wasn't so injured. Matter of fact, you make the argument have been a lot better than that because of the because of how many injuries and that we already won nine games. But I think that we might end up, let's say, winning 10 games this year. Let's just say hypothetically. Mm-hmm. But then if it was last year's schedule, that 10 games would have been 12 games. So, you know, I mean, just think of all the games that we should have won that we lost. And if we were healthy and we had this team and this receivers, we wouldn't have lost to the Giants and we wouldn't have lost to the Titans. We wouldn't have lost to the Giants. Did I say the Giants already? Yeah. Later in the year, we wouldn't have lost to Atlanta. We wouldn't. I mean, but this year, there's a lot more tough teams on the schedule that are going to be a bigger challenge. And if you want to talk about, I hate the whole idea that the NFL screwed us. Maybe I just don't want to believe that, so I'm always opposed to it. But, man, you look at some of those games that we're playing. It's not just a tough team, but we're playing them at the time of the year where it's going to be outdoors in cold weather. So I do think it's a pretty tough schedule, and I do think it's going to pose some challenges. So, but that all changes after about week four, and you realize, man, we have a really good team, or man, things didn't work out quite like we wanted them to. So I'm still open-minded to it, but – I'm going to go with my initial reaction before I got overexcited about the Saints and say that I think it's a pretty tough schedule.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So there are more good teams on it based on last year's
good point
production. So there's no way of guaranteeing that teams like the Ravens or the Cardinals are going to be as good as they were last year. I personally think they've both declined. Another thing to point out is we're as Saints fans, we're used to, our brain is still set in the Sean Payton, Drew Brees, 500 yards passing, big wide open offenses. And therefore we're kind of afraid of these cold weather outdoor games. I don't think that's the team we have anymore. Okay. If we indeed have switched to a tougher defense oriented team that likes to run the ball. And I think everyone on this show thinks we have done that. Why would you not want to play in the cold? Why would you not want to punch somebody in the mouth until they don't get up again? You know, I think this team is much more built for cold, rough and tumble games than we were at any point in the last 5-10 years.
Well, okay. So here's where that falls apart. That theory that you just put out there is that falls now have a team apart. Full of obviously falls apart. Is we have a team obviously. Full of LSU players now. They all used to playing in warm weather, and
we have two LSU players.
The humidity.
We have two.
And, I mean, it's like January, and it's 85 degrees, and they just. I mean, now that we've gotten all these LSU players, I just don't see how we win cold weather games. All
two and a half LSU is players, clap
and not to mention, it's inevitable that we're going to sign the linebacker again. So, you know,
Alexander.
Yeah, Alexander. It's inevitable that he's going to sign. And once that, then you basically have like almost an entire team full of LSU players. Impossible to win in cold weather.
Our right guard is from Michigan and our right tackle is from Wisconsin. Just run off right side.
Okay. Don't try to change the subject, man. We're talking about LSU, okay? See how he does misdirects. Nothing to do with the conversation. Somebody's from another school that isn't LSU. What does it have to do with the point?
Go Tigers.
I'm going to write to I wanted to talk to BS and Beer HR because this is a hostile work environment right here.
Oh, don't get started. We already have, if you want to air our dirty laundry, you already have several write-ups for drinking on the job. Bullying.
Our channel is called BS and Beer. I am more dedicated than you guys.
He also got written up. I saw one come across the desk that for being late. I mean, you know, it's bullying, creating a hostile work environment, all of it. Not supporting coworkers.
My HR folder is impressive.
Yeah, yeah. He is the reason HR exists.
He likes his
my HR folder is like I am, very thick.
Yeah, he likes his HR folders like Dell likes his women.
What's up?
That's great. That's great. Oh man. Okay. Well, speaking of big and thick.
And juicy.
Ruiz, like I've been seeing some puff pieces on Ruiz getting better with Doug Marrone coming. And are we really banking on Doug Marrone just fixing this guy and now he's going to be a good player at right guard?
So you drafted an offensive lineman in the first round. You signed two offensive linemen in the last month, interior offensive line specifically.
Yeah.
And you have guys like Throckmorton on the roster who are probably starters on some teams. No, we're not banking on anything. We're hoping he improves. That's why you bring in a former head coach as your offensive line coach. You're clearly putting resources and attention to that position, but it doesn't mean you're banking on anything. If you're banking on him, you don't draft anyone else. You don't sign anybody else. And you're just kind of going with that guy. And if he gets hurt, he gets hurt. Or if he doesn't develop, we suck, you know, but we clearly haven't done that. We've signed guys. We've drafted guys. We've signed again, a former head coach to be an offensive line coach. How often do you see that happen in this league? We have the Saints lately have been crazy about signing former head coaches as position guys.
Right.
So no, I don't think we're banking on him. I think we're hoping.
Okay.
I'm personally hoping.
All right, Dave.
Sounds good.
Dave is loyal to the BS and Beer opinion of alignment don't matter. And these two guys right here, if they could, they'd only watch 7-on-7. They don't want to watch real football with big uglies.
See, there you go, misrepresenting me again. I'm one of the biggest supporters of offensive line. I ain't trying to listen to you no more. The thing about it is, this is an example of convincing myself of all kind of stuff. I'm going to pull out every, I don't know, excuse that we've used. And I feel like some of it's true. We'll see what happens. But Ruiz came in during COVID. He didn't have any offseason. He was in the, he was moving, changing positions. Then he gets in, you know, I mean, listen, it's, he played really bad. He played so bad. But I feel like one of his problems, it's not lack of athleticism. Golly, do y'all look at him and even standing next to the other guys, unless he just has some like dense bone, you know, bone densities just like through the roof. How does he weigh 300 pounds? Or does it say 310? He just doesn't look it. And so I think that there's some strength issues. I think he's just not that big a guy. And so I don't know if that changes. And he's not very tall. So then, like, where's this size and bulk going to come from? And I think a lot of his problems is that. It's not athleticism. It's not want to. It's not, you know, he's a good offensive lineman. He was a good college offensive lineman. So what's not translating? I keep leaning to the fact that he just wasn't strong enough. So I think that's a correctable thing. Now, is it going to get corrected? Is he get strong enough? We'll find out. But I know he's not played well, but you got to give a guy 3 years, man. You know, if 4 or 5 games into this season, he's still terrible, then pull the plug on it. But you got to give it. And I'm making the same point. I keep hearing people talk about, golly, it's the offseason and my mind is not working right. Zach Bond.
Yeah.
I mean, look, man, you're talking about a guy who's a defensive end.
Yes.
So you bring him in a COVID year. Uh-huh. He plays poorly. He doesn't get it. And boom, he's on the, you know, he's not playing. Then he comes in his second year. And in preseason, we all thought he was going to the Pro Bowl.
Yeah.
We thought that he was, but then he didn't play as well in the games and stuff. And all of a sudden now it's back to cutting him. So basically a defensive end showed a great amount of development in the offseason after coming in during COVID and not getting to practice much. Yeah. So you're not ready to give him a third year to see if he really does take the next step? I am. I am. Now, look, he's also a good special teamer. So cutting him is kind of silly to begin with.
There's no point to it.
But the point being is that I'm still expecting that Bond could end up being a starter, you know, after Davis moves on. I think, and again, that's my optimist side of me. But I just think it's way too early to take a defensive end, moving positions, and then everybody's ready to cut him. Like you cut a guy, you change positions, you got to give him a chance to be successful at it.
Yeah. Well, you know, Ruiz had the same issue. Like, I mean, he was playing center at Michigan, and we changed him to a guard.
Can we mention again last year, which was supposed to be his first full year of playing guard,
right,
he had to step in too. And start playing center again due to injury.
Yeah, yeah.
He hasn't had a full year in the NFL with an offseason to play the position that he's expected to be doing at a high level.
So why hasn't
I get a lot of heat from Dale over here because he hates fat guys about being too generous with my offensive lineman, but he did not play as bad as you guys want to tell me he did. And I'm going to explain to you why this is. I've said it a million times. I'm going to do it again. As an offensive lineman, I will tell you that the best offensive linemen are the ones that you never mention. The reason you know he's doing bad is because when he does mess up, everybody sees it. If he has a 5-play stretch where he gets to second level and blocks the linebacker for a good run, and then he seals the edge and we get a 2-yard gain up the field, and then on third down, he steps the wrong direction, he has the wrong play call with slide protection, a linebacker comes through, nails Jameis Winston, and we have to punt. Which play are you guys going to remember? Is it going to be the one where he chips off the D-tackle, gets to backer, and springs Kamara? Or is it going to be the one where he whiffs and he gives up a sack?
Definitely the
thing about
play.
Offensive linemen is you only know Definitely. Their name when they screw up. So, yeah, you know that you're noticing when he's screwing up because he hasn't lived up to the hype that you want a first-round pick to do. I understand that. I'm with you guys on that. I want him to improve as much as you guys do. But to say that he's not been a good player, it doesn't mean that he's a bad player. There are worse offensive linemen in this league. There are starters on a lot of teams that are not as good as he is. He's just not to the level we want him to be on. We are accustomed to good offensive line play on the Saints, particularly on the inside. If you talk about the Super Bowl years with Drew, those guards were both all pros. We have hung our hat on solid interior line play because that's what Drew needed to succeed. Now that we have a guard who has these laps and is still developing, yeah, it's going to show up more. That's why we all see it. That's why we're all trying to crucify a guy who is learning a new position in one of the toughest jobs in the world, and he's not great at it yet.
So why hasn't Doug Marrone changed him to center yet? What the heck is he doing?
Because we have a good center. Why do you want to take a good player out of a spot he's good at in the hopes that someone else is good there instead? What's the logic in getting rid of a good player to see if someone else will be good in that spot? You already have a good player at center.
We've never seen McCoy at guard.
So leave him where he's good at then.
And McCoy can run. He can get down the field. Man, I want to get him out there to move, block on these screens.
You just said he was already getting down there and doing that. So why are you going to move him to see him do the thing that you just said you've already seen him do?
No, I saw him do it once, and I know he can do it because it was one play. And so I want to get him to do it more.
How often do you think offensive linemen are 40 yards downfield blocking? How often do you think that occurs in a game?
It needs to happen more.
Oh, my goodness.
get the body moving.
Dave, help me.
Hey, man, my name's Bennett and I ain't in it. You too.
Look, I can't explain my 20 years of playing offensive line, give or take, to someone who clearly has some kind of vendetta. Like, did a lineman steal your girlfriend in high school or something? Like, did something happen?
Does that even happen? Is that even a thing? I mean, I get you trying to make a point, but does that even happen? I don't know if in the history of humanity an offensive line has stolen anyone's girlfriend. Maybe beat him up and took her, but
for the record, everybody, I do apologize to everyone I went to high school with. Sorry.
I think one stole my cornbread, you know.
Ooh, I got one.
That's what it. Someone stole a sandwich from you, and you've had a vendetta against 5/11ths of an entire offense ever since.
BS and Beer Podcast, the worldwide leader in absolutely nothing.
Look, guys, we've been on here for a long time. I'm already tired of both of you. Let's try to recap this a little bit, okay? We've added free agents. We've lost a head coach. The schedule looks rough, but, you know, the team might be better. How do you feel? Do you feel better today than you did, say, at the end of last season?
Yes, a lot better because on paper, we've improved a lot. And I'm really excited to see what Pete Carmichael is going to cook up by himself and with no input from Peyton and everything. And I want him to prove all the naysayers wrong. And anybody who's been doubting his ability to call an offense and design a scheme, because this guy has got so much experience being out there. Like it's crazy. I've got nothing but faith in Pete Carmichael. So I'm excited about that.
How about you, Dave?
I'm going to go back to what I was saying earlier and just make this quick point. Every year about this time, I convince myself of a lot of things. And then all it takes is like one or two preseason games. And let me give some context to that. Generally in preseason, it's vanilla and the guys trying to work things out and you don't have all your starters and they don't go in there and score 45 points and shut the other team down. And all of a sudden you go from like, this team's going to be incredible to, oh God, let's, and it brings your realizing the difference between good teams and bad teams in NFL is such a small margin. So right now, the only thing I could say is that, man, I'm through the roof. I mean, there was one point in offseason where I literally had to convince myself. I'm like, well, we got the injury thing. We're going to be less injured, but how are we going to be better? And now I'm just looking at this team and I'm just like, I'm so excited. I mean, do we want to get in this guy? I mean, where are the holes? Okay, I get it. There's some injury problems. And if you're being fair, you know, you hope that Jameis Winston comes back 100% or at least, you know, healthy enough where he can distribute the ball consistently. You got a new guy. But, I mean, the offensive line has talent. Your skill positions have talent. You know, I wish we'd have got a little more depth at running back. Your defensive line is deep. Defensive ends are deep. Linebackers are good. Defensive backs. I mean, where is the hole on this team?
Right.
And until they actually start playing football, that's how I feel right now, man. I'm like, but I've done this too many times. I know how excited I get in June and July. And then when football season actually starts, then you start getting more like, okay, let's balance this out a little bit. So mm-hmm. I'm very excited. I'm super stoked right now.
I am so glad we could end this long, exhausting, depressing show with a little bit of optimism. I love it.
The Saints pimp, man. They all got that little gangster lean when they walk in with that limp.
Gangsta lean right there.
Yeah. Yeah. And then when they come off injured reserve, they have to give up their velvet hat with the feather in it. They like turn in their little.
It's like the jackets that they have on the sideline for cold weather games. You get, when you go back in, you have to take your
velvet take hat it off and
take the fur coat off and everything.
And then you have to walk straight. You can't walk lean into one side no more and lean. You have to jog on like all. You know, yeah. You lost pimp status.
Well, I think the team got better, and I'm going to get out of here on that note before any of you guys bring me back down to earth.
All right.
Well, that's all the show we have for you this week. So for David Romero, for Dale Mims, for the whole BS and Beer family, I'm Craig Wright, the California Cajun, and you've been listening to the BS and Beer podcast. We will see you next week or whenever we can get Dave to do the show again.
And anyway, the person who sits here is but the most conspicuous member of a superb team of journalists, writers, reporters, editors, producers, and none of that will change. Furthermore, I'm not going away. I'll be back.
And that's the way it is.
Oh, but don't waste time to tune into our podcast. Oh, go give your time to David, Heed, and Thomas. We do this every week, every Wednesday. So don't miss, we do this every week, every Wednesday. So don't miss, we have a lot of fun. I love this podcast. We have a lot of fun. I love this podcast. Oh, we have a lot of fun. I love this podcast. We have a lot of fun. I love this podcast, oh. Oh, boy, don't waste time to tune into our podcast. Oh, girl, give your time to David, Heed, and Thomas. We do this every week, every Wednesday. So don't miss, we do this every week, every Wednesday, so don't.